Void Podcast Network. Welcome to Staring into the Void. I am your MC, CJ, that beardless boy wonder. You guys also know me from the Infinite Rabbit Hole podcast. Today, I'm joined by our good friends, Jeremy from the Infinite Rabbit Hole podcast, Jeff from Shadow Band podcast, and Phantom Phil from Unexplained Inc. Just to let you guys know what we're doing here. This is a Void Podcast Network production. This is going to be something we do quarterly between the solstices and equinoxes. Just sit down and let us all talk to you at the same time about a common subject. Answer some questions. So we polled the communities and whatnot to get some submissions. And from there, we're going to be discussing everything revolving around UFOs right now, especially with the upcoming releases for the month of June. The government's supposed to be telling us all kinds of things about that, so we figured it would be a great topic to talk to you guys about today. Fellas, how are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm having a food allergy day, but I'm doing all right.
Is that what we're calling it? Food allergies?
Yes.
I'm doing good, man. Hey, thanks for getting this all together, dude. It seems like you put a lot of work into it.
Yeah, I did. I got yelled at a whole bunch by my wife and everything. That's how you know you're putting a lot of work into it.
No comment. Mine yells at me for everything.
Well, you should do a better job, maybe, and you won't get yelled at so much.
Damn.
No, again, no comment.
Damn. That was not fired, nice. Man.
We're coming nice. In hot on this one, right? Boys.
Phil, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, CJ. First of all, I just have to apologize in advance. The connection on my end is not great during this, so if there's a delay or some lag, my apologies, and we'll just try and power through it. But other than that, I am fantastic.
That's great news to hear. And you said that without insulting Jeremy, which puts you a step above Jeff and I.
I am now that guy.
I apologize. I apologize now before we get started.
So before we really dive into the initial category and topics, just a real quick background on everybody and how UFOs apply to our individual podcasts and where our knowledge base is coming from. Jeff, let's start with you. Where does this come from with you?
As far as just the whole UAP situation in particular?
All right, if you want to be all PC about it, sure.
Okay, yeah, well, you know, that's the culture we're in these days. Well, I mean, honestly, man, for a long time, you know, years and years, I was really on board with the whole, you know, the aliens are here. The aliens built the pyramids. You know, the government's hiding the aliens. Why won't they tell us? Now I think I'm a little too deep in the rabbit hole, and I'm kind of thinking it all just might be a scam. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Okay, and speaking of rabbit holes, we'll go over to Jeremy.
Hey, everybody. I am Jeremy and the host of the Infinite Rabbit Hole podcast. And if you haven't listened to our podcast yet, you'll know that we kind of go over a bunch of different stuff. And basically, when it comes to UFOs, we like to go over specific stories, specific events that have happened throughout history that are very interesting and kind of open your eyes up. So that's where my interest is when it comes to these UFOs. I'm also an active duty sailor in the United States Navy, and a lot of this stuff that's coming out right now is all naval footage. Well, at least the stuff that they've already released. So there's a little bit of interest in there too. My favorite subjects are cryptids, urban legends, and other myth and lore subjects. But when it comes to UFOs, it is more of a let's say I am interested by association. I have read books by Whitley Strieber. I have watched documentaries on the Betty and Barney Hill incident, the Rendlesham UFO incident, of course, Area 51 and the Roswell incident. But I wouldn't say it's my slice of pie, but it is very interesting, and I think we're going to have a very interesting conversation today about some of this stuff.
Right on, right on. And speaking of interesting, I love how everything is just tying in. Phil, you know, Unexplained Inc. covers a lot of extremely interesting topics. When it comes to your show, where does UFOs fall in with your subject material?
Well, my show is basically the gambit of unexplained mysteries in the universe, and aliens and UFOs definitely have a place in there. However, this is one part of my show I'd like to kind of step it up with a little bit. I haven't had enough discussions and content. However, what I can deliver for everyone today is that in 2020, I had a guest on who lives about an hour away from me here in Canada, and his name is Kevin Estrella. He's a guitar player, but by trade, but also back a few years ago, he had a major UFO sighting that changed his life and left him with the ability to communicate with ETs. And through this, he has met people in the UFO community, and he also started his own radio show called Pyramids on Mars Radio, which is also the name of his mainly instrumental band he plays in. And he's a two-time guest on the show, and he has unbelievable stories about these types of subjects. He's a great place to start, but I would like to add more in the future. And I know I'm going to learn a lot from this discussion today.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So really, it sounds like we're getting into the first category here. And the first thing we're going to be talking about, you know, is the basics. You know, we have the common aliens that everybody knows, the grays, the green aliens, tentacle ones, you know, the flying saucer, the triangle flying ships, lights in the skies. So our first category today is lore and mythology.
Lore and mythology.
All right, so we have a bunch of listener submissions specifically for this category. And today, you know, I really want to start off with a really interesting question that was submitted to us by Franklin Rice. And he asks, if they suspect these UFOs are from space, what about UFOs that come from the oceans? In this particular category, I kind of want to start with Jeff here, because I feel like this is going to fall into the government conspiracy category. Because the only UFOs that I can really think of that come out of the ocean would be like Atlantis, which is a heavily debated conspiracy topic. Jeff, can you provide us some light?
Yeah, man. UFOs that come out of the water are USOs, unidentified submersible objects, I believe. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different accounts of that. In fact, one of the recent videos that was released by Jeremy Corbell that the Pentagon, you know, verified was real footage, that UFO goes, you know, from above the water into the water, right? And, you know, in my personal opinion, I mean, I know that there's deep underground military bases and, you know, facilities underground that are corporate, you know, call them bunkers or underground cities, things like this, right? We all know this. But there's also under ocean facilities as well that a lot of people don't think about. You know, there's these deep underground military facilities under the ground, under the ocean, you know, like way, way down there. So, you know, I believe, again, that these craft are either government or corporate vehicles. And of course, they would be flying in and out of the ocean if there are facilities down there, you know, that they're doing stuff in. So, yeah.
Okay. And I think Jeremy's going to have something very interesting to add to that due to an upcoming episode of The Infinite Rabbit Hole. But before we get to that, Phil, do you know anything about UFOs coming out of the ocean? Or have anything to respond with towards Jeff in that matter?
I was going to say, I don't know much about it, but it would not surprise me in the slightest, because as much of the ocean floor that has been explored, I think there is just as much that has been unexplored and can hold things that we can't even comprehend as of yet. So I'm down with it.
Okay. And So to double back here, like I said, Jeremy, we have something in the Patreon of the Infinite Rabbit Hole called The Bottom of the Hole. And we have an upcoming episode of the Infinite Rabbit Hole that kind of would tie in with things in the ocean here. Do you have anything to provide any light on to that in regards to the possibilities of those things being UFOs?
Well, no, I don't think they are. For anybody that's interested, he's referring to the Bloop and the Julia sounds, which are these mysterious sounds that have been recorded under the water by many different technicians, mostly from NOAA, right? So they've been submitted to NOAA. NOAA's investigated them, and they can't find anything. Their best ideas about it are possibly iceberg shifting. But so I don't really have much to add in that sense, but I do have something to add to the general question. Basically, from what I heard, and I want to say thank you to Franklin, is do we believe that they're coming from outer space or from the oceans? So I'm going to go and say neither. So I know that a lot of these videos that are being shown off by the government right now show the craft going into the water, right? And I personally don't think that there's anything different between a UFO and a USO. And the reason why is because if they have the technology to be able to do all the stuff that they do in the sky, what makes you think that they don't have the technology to be able to do the same thing under the water? And if you're spotted, if you're spotting something and they see that you are actively watching them, what is the easiest way to get away? It would be to go under the water, because honestly, in the middle of the ocean, we can't see more than 10 feet down. So all they have to do is go, you know, very shallow underneath the water, and they can get away very easily. Not to mention that if they're here for like some sort of scientific or investigative reasonings, they should definitely, or we should definitely expect them to want to do the same things that they do in the air, in the water. It doesn't surprise me that they would be underwater, but I do not believe that they're coming from underwater.
Wanted to agree with Jeremy. I don't necessarily think the UFOs and the USOs are different. I just think that there are different classifications as far as the research goes. You know what I mean? But I think there are the same craft. I agree with you.
So we're looking at, instead of just spaceships, we're looking at amphibious vehicles, multi-amphibious. We have terrestrial, outer space, and submersible.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at all the stuff that they do, I mean, that it is not far-fetched to believe that they have multifaceted amphibious vehicles. I think that if you think that they can't do that, that's where you're wrong. You know,
you just got to remember that the Navy is the ones that are in charge of most of the space stuff. So, of course, if it's in space, it's probably under the ocean, too. Same craft, same people.
Actually, space would be Air Force.
I mean, if you look at who's in charge of most of the if you look at who's in charge of most of the space stuff before Space Force, it was a lot of Navy. And I think even now, the Navy has most. Are you sure?
Air Force deals with satellites and everything, and they were born as a division of the Army. The Navy doesn't really deal with any kind of satellites or anything like that. Trust me, because that's something I would easily have tried to get into. I actually took the secondary route and went aircraft technician, but I would have loved to have been a satellite technician like I was trying to be when I originally tried to join the Air Force.
Okay. All right. Well, since we kind of established, potential origins of the spacecraft, I really do feel like we're able to move on to this next listener submitted question from the Cast Junkie Discord server, which, if you guys are not a member of the Cast Junkie Discord server, highly recommend it. It's an amazing podcast community. There will be an invite in the description. Just click that. You can join up. But this comes from Mr. Ray of the $2 creature feature. And he asked, you know, in our opinions, what are the top five creepiest reports found involving UFOs? Since they're coming out of the water, from the sky, and in the dirt, in your guys' opinions, and since this is story-based, I want to start with Jeremy, you know, hit us with one or two of the creepiest UFO encounters you can think of.
All right. First of all, thank you, Mr. Ray, for the question. $2 creature feature. I'm going to have to check that out. That sounds right up my alley. I don't know if I'm going to answer this exactly how he wants, but I'm going to kind of include a little bit of UFOs and extraterrestrial encounters. So the first one obviously would have to be the FLIR, Gimbal, and GoFast footage that we're seeing right now come from the government. You can simply go on YouTube, look up Navy FLIR, Navy Gimbal, Navy GoFast. We also did an episode on this as well. I think it was episode 2 in season 2, where we talked about this entire thing, and we did it with an entire cast of active duty sailors in the Navy. So, you know, there was a lot of really good input about this, so I'm not going to beat a dead horse. If you're interested in these videos, please go check out that episode. There's a lot of really good information from people that know a lot about the subjects. But the first one that a lot of people probably don't know too much about is the O'Hare incident. On November 7, 2006, an employee spotted a craft hovering over the flight line. After mentioning to other employees, a total of 12 employees of the United Airlines, including a handful of pilots and a few people waiting in the terminal, saw the unidentified craft. The total amount of time that it was visible was about 5 minutes, then shot up towards the sky and disappeared and created a hole in the cloud coverage. The UFO was not seen on radar and was officially labeled a weather phenomenon by the FAA, and they declined to investigate the event. Now, you have a lot of people that are on record as seeing this, right? There is no video evidence. There is some pictures that are questionable, but because of how many people saw this and how many different people that have no connection whatsoever, whether you're talking about maintenance crew, janitorial crew, pilots, or just passengers that were getting ready to get on an aircraft, you saw there is a ton of people that can say that this actually did happen. So it's very interesting, and at some point down the road we are going to cover this on the Infinite Rabbit Hole, as with everything else that's listed here. So I'm only going to say that once, that everything on my list here will be covered at some point by Infinite Rabbit Hole. I can almost guarantee that. The next one I want to bring up is the Betty and Barney Hill incident. Now, on September 19, 1961, a couple in New Hampshire claimed to have been abducted by aliens and is most famously known as the Hill abduction or the Zeta Reticuli incident. Betty Hill claimed to have been able to communicate with the beings and was shown a three-dimensional star map that she later discovered as the Zeta Reticuli system. This case became so popular that it was developed into a television film called The UFO Incident in 1975, and most of Betty Hill's notes and other items referring to the incident are now held in a collection at the University of New Hampshire. One other thing that's really interesting about this and kind of gives way to the authenticity of it is that supposedly the location of the abduction was officially marked by a historical marker by the New Hampshire Division of Historical Resources in July of 2011. So if you actually go to this spot, you can actually see an official government sign, or merely state government sign, marking this place. This is how much people actually believe this happened. The next one is something that we already did on the Infinite Rabbit Hole, which is the Berkshire UFO incident. On September 1st, 1969, an entire town and spotted areas in western Massachusetts witnessed a UFO. Some people claimed to have been abducted and can recall information about the ship and its occupants that match descriptions from others that they don't personally know. Some of these abductions even have witnesses, like people that actually saw another human being abducted or disappearing under a beam of light. Like I said, we cover this in Infinite Rabbit Hole, Season 2, Episode 1, I believe. I think we did back-to-back UFO episodes there. One of our more popular episodes, and also is covered by the what's that show on Netflix?
Ancient Aliens?
No. Unsolved Mysteries. So they did it on the first season of the remake for Unsolved Mysteries, and it was really good. So definitely check that out. It's very interesting stuff. My last one, I have one other bonus one. I'm not going to give out any information on these because both of these topics are going to be covered very soon by the Infinite Rabbit Hole. So I'm just going to give the titles, and then you guys will just have to wait for Infinite Rabbit Hole to put the stuff out. But it, like I mentioned before, the Rendlesham UFO incident, that's going to be my final one. And as a bonus, I want to include the Kelly Greenman incident, which is very, very interesting.
Jeremy, you've covered a lot of the third-party accounts and most popular stories. Phil, right in the beginning, before we really got into the category here, it sounded like you were alluding to a very potentially horrifying firsthand account. Would you say that that falls under the creepy category? And can you give us a little insight into that?
Yeah, I'd say it would. That one, I don't fully want to give it away because Kevin Estrella himself tells the story so much better. And it's on one of the first 10 episodes of, or maybe even one of the first 5 episodes of Unexplained Incorporated in 2020. And it's actually a 2-part episode because the story went so long. But Jeremy just triggered a thought in my mind, actually. And Jeremy, thank you for listing all of those because it just got me thinking some more. I want to actually do a quick allusion to the Travis Walton case for a couple of reasons, because it has an intense creepy factor for me. I do a monthly segment on my podcast called The Unexplained Case Study, where myself and my helper, Angel Card Amy, take a look at a feature film that is based on a true story that falls under the unexplained category. And last fall, we did the movie Fire in the Sky, which is a great movie, by the way, and it's based off of the Travis Walton story in Northern Arizona, which was a UFO sighting turned into a full-fledged abduction with a lot of mystery surrounding it. And the reason it creeps me out so much is not only because of how the movie was done, but throughout the years and in my research, Travis Walton himself, he's still with us, has not wavered in his story one bit. And actually, about a month after we released that case study, he appeared on the Joe Rogan podcast and told his same story with such vivid detail that I just look at the guy and I go, this guy really went through something scary, and I'm pretty sure he ain't lying about it. And that story as well, because he was a part of a logging crew or a lumberjack crew, whatever you want to call it, they all saw the same craft as he did, but Travis was the only one who went up to it and then eventually disappeared for a period of time and came back and was absolutely traumatized. So to me, that's the biggest story I can think of in terms of a UFO sighting that has creeped me out the most.
All right, all right. Jeff, I know you got something, bro.
Yeah, man. This was, I had to really think because, you know, obviously there's so many examples and encounters and all these sightings and stuff, but I had to do a search of the definition creepy because I wanted to really dial in my choice, right? So what I got was of or producing a sensation of uneasiness or fear as of things crawling on one's skin. So I was like, okay, which one freaks me out the most? Probably, and I don't know if this is necessarily like a UFO situation, but it's just kind of encompasses the whole thing. It would be the Phil Schneider story. You guys familiar with Phil Schneider?
Absolutely. No.
Yeah, the whole Phil Schneider thing, man, really kind of just is the one that always sticks in my mind. Phil Schneider, he was a, I believe he was a geologist working for the government. He was an engineer, and he had like over a decade of experience working with the government, almost 20 years. And he was working on black projects and all kinds of other things. But, you know, he came out and started doing this presentation, you know, kind of as a whistleblower, really saying that, you know, the government was allocating all of these funds to these black projects and that they were spending so much money building these deep underground military bases, these dumbs, and that he was involved with helping to build all of these. But the thing that really struck me was that they would be building a lot of these bases on top of existing extraterrestrial bases that were deep underground. So they were essentially closing them off, you know, sealing them in. And then at some point, you know, he talks about how they, you know, made a treaty with the U.S. government to trade humans and, you know, just genetic material from Earth for technologies. And then 6 months or so after he starts doing this presentation, you know, he's found dead with a piano wire wrapped around his neck. So, and there's a lot more to the Phil Schneider thing. Of course, he does like a 2-3 hour presentation. You know, people can find it all over the internet. But the Phil Schneider thing really kind of puts it into perspective for me, where it's like, you know, I do believe that there are extraterrestrials, but I do believe bigger in this whole government cover up. And it's like I say, the vehicles that people are seeing may or may not be aliens, right?
Okay. Okay. And, you know, following in all this, you know, scary stuff and then creepy stories, that kind of leads into the next question we have from another listener. This is Liger of the Puckle Podcast Discord community. He wants to know, why don't the aliens leave the Wooloo alone? if anybody else is wondering why Jeremy and I are laughing a little bit, Wooloo is a sheep Pokemon. And, you know, UFO sightings and livestock mutilation stories go hand in hand. Jeff, can you kind of like illuminate on that a little bit?
Yeah, well, that kind of just goes into what I was saying about this treaty that Phil Schneider claims was signed in 54, where we were trading all types of genetic material for technologies, and that would include, you know, genetic material of livestock. But the problem was that the extraterrestrials or the interdimensional entities that we made a deal with, of course, they didn't abide by the deal. So the numbers of people that ended up missing and the number of livestock that ended up mutilated and so on was way more than what the deal was initially, you know, struck as. So, yeah, mutilation fits right in with that whole thing for sure.
Phil, anything to add to that?
I don't know enough about this subject, but I want to add two things. Number one, I just find the precision and the grisly nature of these animal or cattle mutilations, not only are they really disturbing, but it's done to a point where it just makes me personally believe that this can't be human hands that are behind this. And I know some of this over the years has been blamed by like satanic cults or something ridiculous, but it's fascinating how it's done and the frequency that it's done. And I think there's a little something to the fact that these are usually out in rural fields, out in the wide open, usually done in the middle of the night, not always done in the daylight hours, I believe. So definitely a lot of mystery. And that's a subject, I think, for the show I want to look into a little bit more.
Awesome. Okay. That's fantastic. Definitely, listeners, check out the Unexplained Inc. podcast for things such as that. Jeremy, do you have anything else to elucidate on the subject of livestock mutilation?
Absolutely. So I want to refer to an article that I read a long time ago, and I wish I had the name of the article or where I even read it, but it was very, very interesting and brought an amazing point. And I was hoping that I could save this for whenever IRH does a cattle mutilation episode, but this is a great time to put it out, right? So there is this trend that a lot of people don't notice, and that is that mutilation doesn't only happen to cattle, but in specific or in general, it happens to our food. So you don't see it happen very often to horses, if at all. There's not a lot of cases of it actually happening to horses, although there is one in particular that I can name off the top of my head. But most of it happened to cows, lambs, pigs. It happens to pigs quite a bit. And one thing is that they don't have any specific cases of it happening to chickens or turkeys, but due to the sheer numbers of chicken and turkey being raised for food, it's very hard to notice when something even it goes missing. And when it does, it's always put up to natural predators. The numbers do dwindle at times and chickens do go missing. So who's to say that these aren't falling victims to the same thing as the bigger animals are? There is no evidence, so you can't say that it isn't. But what I want to point out is what this article theorized was that they're actually doing these mutilations on our food sources to find more about, one, why are we eating these as our food? What kind of nutrients are we getting out of this as our food? Or under the theory that we're actually being farmed by an extraterrestrial race or by an interdimensional race, they're checking on the quality of food. And if you think about all this stuff, right, we do the exact same thing to the animals that we are farming. We check their food. We check the quality of it. We check everything about it. Maybe they're trying to get us fatter. Maybe they're trying to do a whole bunch of different things. So it's, You know, and if it's not that, honestly, if I put that article aside, I think that they're just simply doing anatomical tests, you know, the same thing that we do with other animals, like the frogs that we do in high school and all other stuff. They're just checking out the anatomy.
Great. That's awesome.
Can I add something real quick, thank Jeremy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, didn't mean to interrupt, but I think this is an important point. I found that so fascinating, Jeremy, that you said that turkeys and chickens, which, you know, a lot of us consume on a regular basis, aren't, I should say, highly targeted with this. What if some form of intelligence knows that because, you know, turkeys and chickens are feathered, that they might escape faster, whereas if they go after a lamb or a cow or a pig, they can go in and have a much quicker kill because there's less chance of those types of animals getting away. It makes me wonder if there's an intelligence out there that knows that and can differentiate between the two. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that in there for thought.
Yeah, not only that, too, but you also got to think, like, if they do abduct these animals, right, a chicken would be a lot easier to dispose of than, say, a full-grown cow. I mean, what are you supposed to do with a full-grown cow? I don't know. Lay it back on the ground. What do you do with a chicken? I don't know. Throw it in an incinerator or something, you know?
Well, they don't. Most of the cases that I've read about, they don't dispose of the, I mean, that's why you have evidence of the mutilation. A lot of these bodies are just drained of blood and mutilated. So it's not. It is very odd what's happening. You know what I mean? I mean, you're draining blood. A lot of these cases, there's not blood around the site of the mutilation. You know what I mean? So it's super odd stuff. I do wonder if it's, I know it's advanced technology. I mean, that's not a question for me. It's just who's advanced technology, you know?
That's another thing too, that you brought up, the technology. A lot of these cuts and stuff are very, very precise and almost mechanical. Which I'll get into, I think in another question. So I don't want to really get into that too much right now. And if we don't, I'll make sure to put it in my final thoughts.
Sure.
Excellent. And so with all this, abductions and sightings and livestock mutilations and things like that, it really leads into this next question that we received from Yara, the child of Kame of the Carpi Noctum community. Which is an esoteric community on Discord, which is also fantastic if you're interested in the woo-woo out there. And they ask, what do aliens want out of humanity? And I'm going to also include a question that was submitted by Zane Mank with that, because it goes in hand, and he asks, how do we make contact? So really the question here is, what do they want out of us, and how do we make contact with them to sort of find out about that? Actually, I want to kind of pass this one to Phil initially here, and see and hear his thoughts on that situation.
Oh boy, I could go a long ways with this one, CJ, but I'll try and keep it brief for the group here. Once again, this kind of ties back into the Kevin Estrella story from my podcast. I know the city he lives in, and he roughly told me the neighborhood that he had his UFO sighting in 2014. And I know it to be a very populous, busy neighborhood or a busy part of the city he lives in. And yet he was the only one who saw this craft. And no, he wasn't abducted, but it laid out a significant change in him. And then he had this ability to communicate with ETs that nobody else was able to see. So from listening to his story and some stories of others, I kind of have this theory from my own thoughts and collections that we could go in a million different directions with what they want from us and how we could contact them. But I don't think anybody in the human race is intentionally contacting alien intelligence or alien beings. I think they are connecting and contacting us, and they are doing so very deliberately. And this part we'll probably get into later, but there are likely benevolent ETs and malevolent ETs. I'm just going to stick with the benevolent ones for now. The benevolent ETs could be choosing people who they feel can get out the messages they want to communicate through to humanity without being exploited by science, the media, religion, government, what have you. And they're looking for people who are trying to elevate their state of living and their being, their state of consciousness, like people who just ultimately want to serve humanity for the right reasons in regards to their highest good. And on Kevin's radio show, Pyramids on Mars, he has people who claim to be starseeds or who claim to be alien human hybrids themselves. And their messages, and from other podcasts and interviews I've listened to from people who claim to be hybrids, like their messages are all about light and love in the highest frequencies possible. So to sum up your question, because I could go on forever about this, is I think we don't contact them. They contact us, and they do it very carefully with people who live in a higher frequency than people who live in the low frequencies of lust, greed, corruption, whatever you will. So yeah, run with that.
Okay. And then to hark back on some previous information we had in the show, Jeremy, you are active Navy, and a lot of our current evidence being released to the public is from the Navy. In your opinion, what do you think the aliens want, and how would we go about making contact with them?
I don't think we go about making contact with them at all, I'm going to be honest with you. They're clearly more advanced, and they probably don't see any solid reasons to converse with us. I honestly don't blame them. But if we wanted to, I think it's already been done, and that's why we're getting this info now. Or at least that's what's being projected. They're projecting that we have contact. And I think that this is what might be coming out later on. I think it's either the 24th or 27th of June when this stuff is actually due to come out. I would expect stuff to actually trickle out a week or two later, because their due date isn't to us, it's to Congress. So we got to make sure that we understand that, and that any information that comes out immediately then may not be true. We have to wait until early July, until it starts trickling out of Congress, and they start, you know, they do all the redacting that they need to do, and you know, then we can pick up the crumbs. But yeah, I just don't think that we're going to make contact with them. I think they're here. I think they don't care that we see them, unless they're doing specific things. And that's when you get them, you know, zipping away really fast. I think that they're way more advanced than us, and they know it, and that there is no purpose for them to actually talk to us.
All right. All right. Jeff, Jeremy kind of dipped into your territory onto that one a little bit. Do you have anything to add there?
Yeah, I think a big thing with this whole subject is that there's not enough. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm going to say people. I'm not necessarily saying you guys, but just people in general aren't thinking as deep about this whole thing. Like, okay, if there are physical extraterrestrials, like aliens from other worlds, right? There's probably a bunch of different civilizations with a bunch of different motivations, right? So there could be, I'm just going to throw numbers. There could be 100 of them interacting with us because they want to. There could be 1,000 of them that don't interact with us because they don't care. And there could be 1,000,000 of them that just, you know what I'm saying? Like it's so layered, just like anything here on this planet. But I think the other big thing is that there is a difference between extraterrestrials and interdimensional beings. So I do believe that humans have the ability to reach out and make contact with interdimensionals. And I think those interdimensionals contact us as well. And these would be the beings that people would describe as demons or angels, or, you know, you pick your term, right? Like these are the interdimensionals. Whereas the physical extraterrestrials are coming here for the same reasons we would go to Mars or another star system, for resources. And those resources might be the same as ours, water, you know, oxygen, or they could be totally different resources that we're not even thinking about. You know what I mean? So I think there's just a lot of nuance in it, and it should really be thought of in a fourth dimensional kind of way, and really think that there's a lot more going on than just, are they contacting us? Are they coming? You know, it's really deep.
Okay. To follow up on that, there is also a theory out there that extraterrestrials may be trying to make contact with us for the purpose of crossbreeding, as their genetics are becoming too pure and they're not able to reproduce with their own kind anymore. And to sort of follow up, we have another listener question here from Ray Diaz, and he asks, how do you think they do it? Jeff?
Sure. I mean, who knows, man? I mean, I'm sure that there is got to be some kind of breeding stuff. But going back to the genetic experimentation or the genetic, you know, the collecting of genetic materials, I mean, you know, we do it now in laboratories where we just take genetic material from different things and we splice them together to create new things. And I think that a physical entity, like an extraterrestrial, super advanced, they might be doing the same thing. They might not be doing it, but they might be splicing genetics to create new genetics for whatever reason, you know, to populate the galaxy with these new genetics, you know, because like, think about this, humans, if we went to like Jupiter, right, and we just landed on Jupiter, it's not going to go too well. However, if we spliced some DNAs together and we made the perfect superhuman that could live on Jupiter, that might work. So that's what I think.
Okay. Jeremy, you have any follow up for that?
Yeah, they do it doggy style so they can watch the final season of Earth on their extra dimensional television. That's it. That's it. That's all I got.
What's up, Phil? You got anything?
You know, not to dodge the question, but I don't think I want to know, or nor do I ever want to experience it. I imagine, and this might sound funny, but like, I imagine they're almost like, you know, a couple of people doing it for the first time in the dark and they don't really know what they're doing, but they just want to get at it. That's how I think they're just going about it. And like I said, I don't even want to know.
Oh, man. Okay. So for the final question for this category here comes from Dora of the Cast Junkie Discord's community. And Dora asks, which class of extraterrestrial would you guys like to meet the most? I'm going to leave that open-ended. Whoever wants to talk, go ahead.
100%. I want to meet the Zeta Reticulans.
Ooh. Why?
Because they're the classic grays. And I want to ask if the whole Betty and Barney Hill story is bullshit.
I would probably talk to the tall Nordic beings. Because those are, from what I understand, those are apparently the oldest race of extraterrestrials that have been helping humanity.
What about you, Phil? Who do you want to meet?
I'm going to have to say... probably the grays that Kevin Estrella says he is in communication with, and he's done countless sketches of them. And I apologize, I cannot remember the name of the species right now, but out of all the sketches he's shown me and some that are on his website, these things look friendly and like they almost look stoned. So, I mean, I think they're real chill. So the gray ETs he allegedly has communication with, I'll meet with them first.
That would be the Zeta Reticulans.
Okay. Very cool. All right. So we kind of have a background. We understand where these UFOs are coming from, and we have kind of speculated on what they want and how we can talk to them and who we would actually want to talk to. We kind of touched on origins as well. And that kind of leads us into our next category here, where we're going to discuss the ability that social media has provided us for mass distribution of information. And in this scenario, we're talking about things that are on mass media networks and distributed by the Department of Defense and firsthand accounts from other things. And we're going to call this next category Newsflash. For our first question here, it comes from Rob Porter of the Songbirding Podcast. also a member of the Cash Junkie Discord community on Discord. And they ask, how much of the info that we're being provided is purely visual evidence? And do we have audio or other secondary types of evidence pertaining to the things that are being released through, you know, mass distribution and social media and news networks? Jeremy, do we have any other options out there?
No. All of it so far is purely visual. You got to think, right? So we have stories of abductions and we have pictures and recorded sounds, but absolutely none of it would be held up in court.
Okay. So disregarding intergalactic courtrooms, Jeff, have you ever been presented with any evidence of extraterrestrials that does not involve some sort of visual?
Okay, this is a tricky question because I have seen videos, fake or not, who knows, but I have seen videos of evidence of audio stuff, right? Like the horns being blared across the world. Like people have heard the horns and people have heard just things in the sky. And some people think that it might be just like Project Bluebeam tests or who knows what, or they could be fakes. I don't really know, but I have heard things. But it is much more of a visual phenomenon from what I see.
Okay. Phil, do you have any examples of anything other than visual?
I can't think of any specific examples of anything auditory, so I'm going to have to chalk it up with visual as well.
Okay. All right. So we're all pretty much under the same umbrella here that we're looking at mostly visual evidence. And that leads us to our next question, which is going to go to you initially here, Jeff. And it comes from Helionheart. And he asks, do you think any of the evidence has been adjusted or tampered with before release? And what do you think was, if so?
What evidence are we talking about exactly? Are we talking about like the recent, like government verified evidence? Is that what we're talking about?
I'm going to broad stroke this one and just say evidence in general.
Okay, then absolutely everything is tampered with, everything. And I don't use that term loosely. I personally don't believe that us as the general public are getting information from the top down that's not tampered with. So like later on this month when we get all of this information that's supposed to be coming out, as Jeremy has alluded to in the past, it's probably going to be mostly redacted, you know, and as I joked on my podcast, I wouldn't be surprised if they hand out a blank sheet of paper and say, here's your info. You know, everything's tampered with. So I don't personally trust any of the video evidence or any of the stuff that we're seeing.
Okay. Okay. Phil, do you have anything to add on to that?
Well, I'm mostly in agreement with Jeff on that one. One thing I'm more suspicious about, other than how the evidence looks itself, is the timing of it. The timing of it to me is so suspect. And that includes a bunch of older UFO reports from like the 70s and the 80s being recycled to the forefront of our minds, like through some certain alt media websites and whatnot. And it just seems like it's so fascinating, especially with you guys down in the States. Like, most of the COVID restrictions are lifting. People are going out and, you know, somewhat trying to enjoy themselves again. So it's like their guard, generally speaking, at least in the US, is really low right now. So it'd almost be a perfect time to say, oh, you think you got your life back? No, we have aliens. Here you go. Deal with this now.
Thank you for saying that, Phil. Why now is the big question in my mind. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and these are all really, really great points. And I'm actually glad that Phil brought up the concept of timing here, because Jeremy, a little while ago, we did an entire episode on Project Bluebeam, and that really describes the role of extraterrestrials in government conspiracy. And Jeff, I know you're very familiar with this as well. Jeremy, can you elucidate a little bit on this question based on that, or maybe any new ideas you may have about the subject?
So this is the question of the night. And honestly, I guess the only way I can answer this question is with another question. Why not now? It has to be at some point. Why not put it out when everyone is distracted by some? Why not put it out when everyone is distracted by so many other things? Like, I think the stars align too much right with the with what's going on right now. Eventually, it's going to end up being leaked. Why not now?
Good point, dude. Great reset, dude. Why not now?
It really is. I really like the 180 we took there.
Yeah, that was good, Jeremy. Because I do think about why now a lot, but I never really did think why not now. You know what I mean? So that's a good point, yeah. Dude. Yeah, it's a good point, man. That's
so, you know, kind of going off of the why not now scenario, we have a question from Hannah of the Thornvale podcast, also a member of the Cast Junkie Discord community. And they ask, what kind of information has already been released that we may not have heard of? And I think she means the general public. And What information do you think we're going to be receiving in the future? I'm going to let Jeremy take away this one initially.
Well, as Jeff had said a couple times already, this whole thing has Project Bluebeam kind of written all over it. But if I had to guess what is next, I'd have to say we're going to get information on alien tech that they possibly reverse engineered, and how some of these UFO sightings are test flights. But not all of it. I don't know, man. It's the whole thing that's going on right now is so sketchy. And this could be something where they just put out this little bit of information to cover their asses for testing some really strange and actually quite awesome shit. And at the same time, kind of leaving the door open for aliens and the whole Project Bluebeam. I don't know. This is a tough question. To answer, because I think that's why we're all kind of sitting at the edge of our seat, is kind of to find out what's coming up next in the future.
You know, honestly, I think Phil, you have the two-part episode of that person who had the story to tell in regarding an alien encounter, and I feel like that would really fall under the, you know, what information is out there that the masses really aren't privy to quite yet. And people, feel free to go to Unexplained Inc's channel and review those episodes. But following up with that, Phil, what do you think we're going to get in the future?
As of right now, I think we're all in agreement of this. The things we're getting right now are just breadcrumbs, and it's to slowly infiltrate the public consciousness that this might be coming, even if people are paying attention to it or not. And then in terms of what's to come, my overall theory is that whatever it is, it's going to be major, and it may really catch us off guard in terms of timing, in terms of the what, because I just don't think it's going to happen very soon, but it's going to happen much later on, and it's really going to hit us. And it's not going to be anything like, by the way, all the intelligence communities across the world have been researching this for 60 years and it's real. Like, who cares? Like, that's not gonna show anything groundbreaking to anyone and most of us in what we already know. What I think may happen is that in the end game may be, we actually reached a deal with alien species and the major governments of the world a few decades ago, and they're already here. And then this is what we're going to do together, and this is how we're going to move forward. And that could go to the real dark agenda of a one world government and usher out Project Bluebeam and all that. Now, just one more quick spoiler from the Kevin Estrella finale of the part two of his episode is that he kind of paints a bleak picture in terms of messaging he gets from the ETs, and he calls the people who run the world the dark underlords, which I think is a perfect description. And he says that in the end, these underlords are going to win because they have to, because through that victory, humanity is going to have to eventually go through a rebirthing cycle. But before we get there, it's going to get real dark. However, he also said that at the same time, he thought the consciousness around the world was raising enough to say that we were winning the war. And whatever that means, I'm not 100% sure, but amidst of all the speculation, I think whatever's going to come, it's going to be big, and it's going to be later down the road instead of when we're all kind of expecting it to be. What we're going to get later in June is probably just going to be a warm-up.
All right, all right. And for the coup de grace on this question, we're going to pass it to Jeff, but I want to redirect it slightly. Jeff, with the upcoming and future information that's going to be released, how do you think they're going to convolute that information before they give it to us?
Well, I kind of have two thoughts on this, to be honest with you. On one hand, the conspiracy-minded me obviously says what I've been saying this whole time. It's just going to be a bunch of whitewash. It's going to be propaganda. Like Phil was saying, it's just to, you know, seed the subconscious mind to get you ready for whatever they want, you know, whether it's Blue Beam or the One World Order or whatever. That's the conspiracy me. So I'm thinking like, this is all garbage. It's all trash. Don't trust any of it. When they tell you the aliens are here, you know, it's a lie. That's one. The other half of me, the black pill half of me, that's even deeper, is starting to kind of see and think that this whole control system, this whole mechanism, the Illuminati, right, that has been running the world into the ground, I think that they might be done, man. I think that they might have lost this game, and that we're watching the dismantling and the crumbling of the deep state in live time, and we have been for a few years. So I personally wonder if we won't even get to that point, if here in the next few months or the next couple of years, you know, as this quote unquote fake disclosure starts coming out, the crumbling is also happening. So, you know, all this might not even go down. We might shift into a different perspective and a different cultural mindset over the next few years. And the whole aliens, extraterrestrial things might just, I think, just kind of vanish for the most part. Of course, there's still going to be the interdimensionals and the contact and the new age thing. But I think that this whole, you know, like I said, the top down drip is kind of just going to get washed away, man. I think that we're watching the dismantling of the control system right now. So,
all right. You know what? As an absolute wonderful follow up to Jeff's answer, which thank you so much for that answer, Jeff. It was absolutely incredible. So, following up with Jeff's answer, Phil, with people who claim contact and say that aliens have been among us for many years, is this government disclosure and announcement nearly as important as a lot of people are perceiving it to be?
Just from the testimony and evidence I've come across, and the fact that the deeper and wider that I look, it seems like there are more and more people who have claimed contacts or have claimed to be star seeds or star children or alien human hybrids. That to me undermines a lot of what government disclosure may actually end up being. And like Jeff said, the conspiratorial part of my mind says, well, okay, if all this contact has been going on with random people in random places throughout the earth, and it's very benevolent and peaceful, then the government's disclosure is probably up to no good. And I don't know if we're going to have time to get into this or not, but just to add to your question, CJ, it makes me wonder too if, you know, contact with these people like Kevin are on the side of the benevolent ETs, the good ones, and the ones in contact with the powers that be in the governments are the malevolent ones, the violent ones who want to destroy humanity. And we may be caught in the middle of some weird ET warfare that's been going on that we don't even know about. So, yeah, to answer your question, I think this type of cases undermine government disclosure whenever it comes.
Jeremy, do you have any follow-up for Phil's answer there?
Well, is it important? Yes, I do think that it is important. This is either info on aliens or UFOs, which is obviously extremely important, or it's the government getting ready to show a little bit of their hands. We just need to have them make sure that we have the people that can decipher it correctly, such as our good friend from the Shadow Band podcast over here.
Thank you, bro. I love you.
And thanks for bringing that up, Jeremy. Yeah. Jeff, follow up on importance and it pertaining to your previous answer.
I mean, it's as important as anybody wants to make it, as anything else, right? Whatever you put your energy into, that's what your reality is. So for a lot of people, this doesn't matter. For a lot of people, the debate over the flat earth doesn't matter, right? So, but as much energy as you put into it, you'll get back out of it. And whether that energy is a positive energy or a negative energy, that will depend on your perception of the information that's handed to you.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen, for all your answers within this category. Moving forward, we're going to kind of get into the real juicy things, the things that upset people, the things that offend people, the things that make them stand up and object and ask you to see your manager. This next category is called Hot Takes.
How dare you? Let me speak to your manager.
All right, guys. Our first question in regards to this sort of thing comes from Keeper Susanna of the Thornvale podcast. They'd like to know, why do you think the government decided to release all this information now? Jeff, I'm going to let you lead with this one here. Why do you think they're releasing to us now instead of before?
Like I said, man, we're watching the dismantling of the deep state. I think that they're running out of cards to play, and they're trying to rush. They're trying to pull all the strings that they can as quickly as possible to maintain their control, and they're just not doing a very good job of it. So that's why you've seen this drastic increase of events happening over the last few years, especially this last year. You know, we all know how that went, and I think that it's just, you know, if you look into the World Economic Forum, what they're doing with the Great Reset. You know, you look at the IMF, if you look at the Council on Foreign Relations, you know, all these organizations of these elites that are running our world, they put out in public on, you know, it's public information. You can go read their white papers on all this stuff, or even like the Agenda 2030 from the UN. You know, if you read all that stuff and you put it all together, you can clearly see that they are doing everything they can to consolidate control and power. And I think that they're just rushing to get it done because the mass awakening is happening.
Right on. Jeremy, being that you're government property currently, from your perspective, why do you think that they're releasing all of this now instead of before?
Like I said, the question is, why not now? It's too convenient to do it now. That's all. That's all I got, man.
Okay, so just kind of compounding on what Jeff had there with they're just running out of cards and now they're desperate, so why not do it now, right?
Yes and no. I mean, not, you know, I definitely don't go against what Jeff has to say. I think that's a very interesting point of view, and it could definitely be possible, especially with all the technological jumps that we're going through right now, and people are getting smarter with computers and able to get into the nooks and crannies of the world and really see what's going on. You know, maybe they just don't have a place to hide anymore. But I'm just more under the assumption that it's just, why not now? There's no reason why they shouldn't do it now. You know, eventually some of this stuff will come out, whether it's forced out by, you know, hackers or whatnot. This just kind of seems like the perfect time to play the cards and get ahead of all this stuff. That's all.
All right. Right on. Right on. Phil, anything to add to the subject?
Just two schools of thought. One thing I alluded to earlier was that on one hand, it's probably easy to manipulate the general public in the Western world right now because they're sort of coming out of COVID and it's going to be the furthest thing from their mind. Or, similar to what Jeff says, the deep state could be crumbling and this could be a desperate power play. Or, you know, the entities controlling the deep state potentially are forcing this, even if the deep state doesn't want to do it. So that's, it could go either way for me.
Okay. Okay. So kind of following up on this, we have another subject here, and Jeremy, we're going to lead with you on this one. And the subject here is, isn't it strange that the U.S. established the Space Force and now suddenly we have all of this UFO and UAP things that are coming out And we kind of discussed a little bit about the potential crumbling of the deep state and whatnot. But what are your views specifically on how the Space Force relates to this topic?
So this is the most disturbing question out of all of it, honestly, in my opinion. This makes me think that we're actually getting ready for something big. The conspiracy side of me is screaming at the red flags this throws up. Like I had said to you before, the Air Force is what takes care of all of our satellites and everything, which is what we're led to believe the Space Force is going to be, right? It's mainly going to be somebody that takes care of satellites, or not somebody, but a presence that takes care of satellites, that takes care of putting them into the sky, takes care of UHF and VHF communications, due to satellites, GPS, not necessarily an explorer branch of the government where they actually go out and fight aliens and stuff like that. And we're led to believe that it's more or less going to be a branch that's going to extend the capabilities of the branches that we currently have. But that already exists, and that's the Air Force. A lot of people don't know this, but the U.S. Navy actually has more aircraft in the military, in their branch of the military, than the entire Air Force does. Everything that the Air Force does, except for the stuff out in space, is already done by another branch, and actually done more by another branch. Is the Air Force going away? No, it's not. And they're also one of the few branches incorporated with the DOD, right? And then that means I'm not talking about the National Guard or the Coast Guard, because they're under something different. Although they are, you know, the Coast Guard is technically a branch of the military. It's not under the DOD. It's actually under Homeland Security. So, one, if they did that, it would make the Air Force completely useless. Like, why even have it? Because let's be honest, you know, and I'm not trying to pick on the Air Force, because, you know, everyone else kind of does that already. The fact is that the Air Force can't work by themselves. They rely on the other branches, the Army, the Navy, to support them in a lot of stuff. And if you go ahead and put out this Space Force, right, you're taking the one thing that the Air Force does on its own away from them. So I don't think that that's exactly what the Space Force is being created to do. The fact that they did this immediately before all of this stuff came out is extremely intriguing to me. I don't have an answer for it. And this is the question that makes me think, okay, maybe we are getting ready for something.
Jeff, following up with Jeremy's answer here, do you find it strange that the U.S. established the Space Force and now we have all of this UFO stuff coming out? Like, how do you think those things interact with each other?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. First of all, and I don't want to, because I know Jeremy knows a lot more about this than I do, since he is property of the U.S. government currently. But, you know, the Air Force being in charge of the satellites, yeah, 100%. But, you know, the Navy has been a huge part of space since the beginning of our space exploration. I mean, if you look into, like, I mean, Alan Shepard was a Navy officer, right? Neil Armstrong was in the Navy. I mean, the Navy handles so much of what we do in space as well. So I do wonder, you know what I mean? Like, with this whole Space Force thing, like, I don't know. I haven't really looked into it too much. I don't know who's running what. I don't know what branches. I know that they pulled people from a lot of branches to do different things. I just don't know what it is. Personally, I feel like we're looking at, okay, so with Project Bluebeam, you have this fake alien invasion, the fake coming of Christ, and that whole thing. I think that we're having a different version of this, where it's just going to be like another Pearl Harbor. I think that we're seeing the technology, we're seeing the seeding of the subconscious mind so that they can prepare us to go to war with whoever it's going to be that has these, you know, these UFOs that we're seeing, you know, whether that's China or Russia or whoever they're going to pin it on. So I just, you know, the why now thing, I guess, is just more of like, it's about time we got into another 20-year war. You know what I mean? And that's just kind of where I'm thinking about it.
I feel like there's a lot of really solid backing there for your answer. And Phil, I'm wondering, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I don't have too much more to add to what's already been said, but it's just to my perception, the Space Force, military, the intelligence people, I think they're all being pulled by the hand that runs the deep state. So, I mean, that's, I really can't get much more clear than that.
Okay. Okay. So all these answers in this particular question leads into our next topic of conversation in the hot takes thing. And it's going to be something that not a lot of people, especially UFO chasers, want to hear. This is going to be something that it has the potential to make a lot of people roll their eyes. People who have been watching the stars since they first had themselves probed or whatever it was that happened to them that made them think that aliens were coming out of the sky. The topic we're about to discuss here is the corporate UAP and the TR-3B. And Jeff, I know you've been itching to talk about this. Lead us away.
Sure, man. Yeah. So, you know, the TR-3B, most people don't even know what this is, but, you know, you can look up on Google TR-3B patent, and the Google patents come up for a triangular spacecraft. Okay. So when I saw this footage come out from Jeremy Corbell, and, you know, the Pentagon said it was, you know, legit footage and all this stuff, and the whole world erupts like, oh man, look, they're telling us, right? The first thing that popped into my mind was, bro, the triangular spacecraft is not new. You know, I've known about this for like so long. And on here on the patent was filed in 2004. But here's what's really interesting. Okay. Anybody who's in the conspiracy world who looks into like bloodlines or like the Illuminati or the 13 families or anything like that, of course, nobody knows exactly who's running the world. But there's a few names that are on every list, right? Rothschild, Rockefeller, Kennedys, St. Clair. St. Clair, or the Sinclair family, is one of these 13 families, one of these 13 bloodlines. And this patent for the triangular spacecraft TR-3B was filed by inventor John St. Clair. And if you look at all of the other patents filed by John St. Clair, there's a whole long list of alternate energy patents, you know, fission technology, anti-gravity, you know, anything that you can imagine that you've heard of in the UFO world as far as what are they using to get around. John St. Clair seems to have filed a patent on the technology. So it's super interesting to me. And again, this isn't necessarily the government doing it, because the government has to have plausible deniability. So I believe that they've handed all this over to corporations, you know, like Lockheed Martin, like Boeing, you know, the list goes on.
So in regards to the Space Force, how shocked would you be if we established a Space Force, these UFOs get revealed, and suddenly we're using things like the TR-3B as part of that military machinery?
I wouldn't be surprised at all. That's why I keep saying I think that the vehicles that we're seeing videos of aren't aliens. I think that they're just, you know, advanced tech, whether it's the military's tech or the corporate tech. It doesn't matter, because they're all working together. But I think we are going to start seeing some of this, like Jeremy was saying. We're going to get some of this tech, just like we have been over the last 100 years. You know, I don't want to jump on the coats of Dr. Stephen Greer with the Disclosure Project, because I have issues with him. But, you know, he's done work to push out this suppressed technologies that we all know exist, right? We're all familiar with Nikola Tesla, and there's a whole slew of people who have been erased, or their technology has been erased because it doesn't go with the program. But yeah, we're going to start getting it. This whole push with the green, and everything's green and everything's climate, and we got to switch away from fossil fuels. We're going to start seeing some of this. We're not going to get the best of it, of course. That's secret stuff, but I just worry that in 10 years or so, or maybe sooner than that, we're going to start seeing what we saw in 2001, 2003, right, when we were bombing Iraq. But instead of conventional warfare, we're going to be seeing this next generation of warfare.
All right. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum here, Phil, your show Unexplained Inc. has that mantra of ready to believe you. And how do you think that this particular topic of these corporate UAPs and the TR-3Bs go with things that people have talked about, live witness accounts of UFOs, and the idea that maybe they weren't seeing actual extraterrestrials, but maybe our government experimenting.
Yeah, I'm open to that possibility as well. Another theory, which we should probably touch on, is I can't remember the term off the top of my head, but like reverse alien technology, that given the jump in our day-to-day consumer technology, like talking about smartphones, Apple devices, and what have you, and the fact that it's been accelerated over the last decade or so, makes you wonder if alien technology has been recovered or uncovered from, say, 50 to 60 years ago, and that these corporations and these arms of the military have been experimenting with that technology to make, you know, the faster, cleaner vehicles or fighters or whatever. I always wonder about that.
All right. Okay. Jeremy, do you have anything to elucidate on the topic here?
Nope.
Okay. No problem.
Good talk,
in that Jeremy. Case, we can.
Right.
Right. I love your broad answer. To move forward here, we have one last topic to discuss. And Jeremy, I'm going to lead with you on this one. And it comes from Zach of the Cast Junkie Discord server. Do you think that governments across the globe have an alliance with these UFOs and extraterrestrials? And if not, why haven't they made themselves known to the layperson masses so far? And I know that kind of goes with your why not now explanation, but I'm really interested in your ideas on the potential that our governments have already established alliances with these extraterrestrial beings.
I mean, could they have? Sure. But the only alliances that are worldwide are between governments. Everything is planned. I don't think anyone has an alliance with alien beings. It would make zero sense on the side of extraterrestrials to make an alliance with anybody here on Earth. Why? I mean, they're so much more superior than us in every way. Making an alliance with even the most powerful nations here on Earth still wouldn't make any sense. They could simply just eliminate us if they honestly wanted to. If they have the technology to be able to fly all the way over here from a different part of the universe, then we are ants to them. We are nothing. I mean, do we go out there and create alliances with the ants in the backyard? No, we don't. I mean, could they? Sure, but it doesn't make sense to me. Why would they?
Can I interject on that?
Yeah, go for it, man.
We don't make alliances with the ants because we're not worried that the ants could nuke and destroy this planet. These far superior to advanced aliens might be worried that we might nuke ourselves and destroy the planet that they've worked so hard to get to. So maybe that's why right. They would do an alliance.
I mean, but okay. So one, and I know the ants are the wrong insect to do this on, but I'm not a fucking landscaper, so I don't know. But we are worried about how pretty our backyard is, right? And let's say ants go out there and they destroy our entire backyard. We're still not going to go make an alliance with them. Sure. We're going to go in there with our little spray bottle and kill them. Okay. And it's the same thing. Say, in my opinion, it's the same thing with extraterrestrials, right? Why even put the idea that we're even here? Let's just go in there and just spray them away. Okay. Problem solved. No issues at all. Get rid of them. And now we have the whole planet to ourselves. And that will, I'll leave it there because then I'll lead into my final thoughts whenever we're done.
Fair. Okay. Before I ask my follow-up, actually, Phil, what do you have anything to add to this, the idea of the alliance with extraterrestrials?
Yeah, I have just a couple of things to add, and it's going to probably get Jeremy riled up because it kind of goes against everything he just said. I'll stick with the theory that there is the possibility of an alliance because some deal has been struck that they want us to be enslaved to the Matrix and our way of life. And I got into some of that with Jeff on our Saturn episode. And Jeff, I might need you to pick me up with this last point here. There's also, and I mean, who knows how true it is, but I think it makes a good story in terms of this question. Is there not like an urban legend that President Eisenhower, some time in his tenure flew to Africa and allegedly struck a deal with some ETs. That's something I always hear, but I just can't remember all the details about it.
There's a few different stories. I mean, that's one. There's also the story of Valiant Thor that came from Venus, apparently, and struck a deal. I mean, there's ideas that their deals were struck thousands of years ago, and that's why the ancient civilizations were doing sacrifices and stuff. So, I mean, who really knows, like you said, but it's an interesting thought.
I mean, on one hand, it is a really interesting theory to explore, but on the other hand, it could also be just a cop-out excuse as to, oh, the world's a mess because we're enslaved by this deal that may or may not have happened, so it could be a cheap cop-out too, but I'm always up for exploring that kind of thing.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm on the end of the spectrum with Jeremy in that the idea of them exterminating us would seem to them to be the ideal situation because, like you said, messing up the backyard. So to follow up, do you think that it's possible that as humans, we see an allegiance with these UFOs and extraterrestrials and these beings as advantageous, and that could potentially be the overlying cause for Project Bluebeam in itself, so they unite us as one so that we may be perceived as useful to these beings and form that allegiance so that they don't come and just spray our little anthill down?
I think that if we have proof that there is an alien race flying these craft around, then we need to do something quick and that we need to look useful. I don't think that we need to go about it in a way of saying, hey, yeah, we would be good slaves for you. I think that we need to come up with a way of saying, hey, we're smart enough to be able to help you and any other alliances that you have throughout the galaxy or whatever it may be. Maybe. I mean, I haven't really heard anything that took a positive spin on Project Bluebeam before, but it's definitely worth thinking of for sure.
All right. And then to follow up with Jeff, sort of the same question in that way, where you had previously stated that the deep state is in its final throes and is struggling. What are the possibilities that an allegiance with these beings could seem advantageous to us, and they're using Project Bluebeam as an ace in the hole to unite us as one and perceive us as useful to these beings to form that allegiance? What are your thoughts there?
1987 UN speech, Ronald Reagan specifically said, you know, if there was a threat from an outside world, I think he used the word alien. I think that there was an alien threat, you know, from outside our world, that we would all unite as a one world and combat this threat. So I do believe, again, looking at all the UN stuff, that was a UN speech. You look at the UN Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, all the other stuff that I mentioned earlier. I do think that there is a possibility that the people at the top of our civilization, our ruling class, they might think that it's advantageous, and that's why they've been doing this. I think that there's another layer. It's not so physical. Everything, you know, when we're talking about treaties with aliens, we're thinking like physical treaties like that we might have with another country. I think that these entities are here for the energy. They're not here for too much physical stuff. I'm sure there are some here for genetic materials, but I think most of these entities are here for our spiritual energy, our frequency energy, and that was what the deal was. So I don't think they want to wipe us out because they need us for fuel or for food. But the people at the top know that they can make a lot of money and have control as long as they feed our energy to these entities.
You know, and you brought up the term spiritual here, and I'm really glad you did that, because that really allows me to segue over to Phil and kind of change it from government conspiracy to the idea of, Phil, what would the spiritual advantages of having an allegiance with these beings, what do you think that would be?
It's a tough question to answer and a loaded one, but just off the top of my head, if these are, and I'm sorry to keep using the same word again, but I think it's appropriate, benevolent ET beings with higher frequencies and higher powers of ESP and telepathy and want to serve our highest good, I think it would be a massive spiritual benefit. Now, this could get a little dicey, but I'm going to say it anyway. Those who are, how should I say this, strictly stuck to their said faith or religion, they may see that as a threat, or assume it's a demonic entity, even if it's not here to hurt or harm us. So I think for those that are in the know, it would be beneficial, but I think a large amount of the population may get angry or upset with it and cause some spiritual discord and maybe even some chaos, because they may see it as being unwelcome because it doesn't line up with what they've believed their whole life. So it's a really double-edged sword, and it's a great question, and I think that's all I can add to it at the moment.
Fantastic. Well, guys, that really concludes our three categories for the episode here. And I'd really like to finish up with final thoughts from all of you in regards to the upcoming information releases, UFO sightings, and extraterrestrials as a whole. You know, how do you guys want to, you know, give us your final thoughts here on this? Phil, I want to lead with you on that. And how do you really feel about this at the end of the day?
Well, as a whole, I've alluded to this. I think UFO sightings can be a lot of different things. It can be, you know, people either seeing what they want to see and just classifying it as a UFO. It could be people seeing military aircraft that has not been brought to the public knowledge yet. It also could be aircraft with alien technology built inside of it. And then, like Kevin's case, there are people who see UFOs in busy urban areas, and yet nobody else seems to see them. So I also think this could have to do with interdimensional travel, maybe even more so than space travel. And I think people who live at a certain frequency will be more susceptible to seeing these things, very similar to ghosts as well. And I just want to share in finality that I think whatever's coming later this month, I think it is setting up to be a bit of a letdown and a disappointment. That's just what my intuition is telling me. But it's going to be a bridge to something bigger further down the road. And I like to end things on a high note and with a laugh. And I'm just going to share something with you that I shared with my guest, Jason Hewlett, fellow Canadian back in May, who was on my program, because he was really into this topic and really excited to talk about it. And I said, wouldn't it be something if there was this reveal of disclosure and a flying saucer landed like on the White House lawn and King and Kodos from The Simpsons came out and it was really them all along? And there we go. We could just say once again that The Simpsons really did predict the future. So, I mean, we just never know at this point.
All right. That's awesome. Jeremy, I know, brother, that you can go on about this for hours and hours, and you love this topic so much. But can you give us the broad spectrum of your final thoughts on the subject?
All right. First and foremost, I have to put this out there because I put out a lot of personal thoughts and ideas and feelings about this that absolutely nothing that I say reflects the point or the standpoint of the Navy. And I do not represent the Navy when I am here on Infinite Rabbit Hole or doing something here for Void Podcast Network. These ideas are strictly my own. I just want to make that absolutely clear that this is not what the Navy thinks. This is what I think. Now, what I think is, as you said, in the broad strokes, that if I had to put money on something, we're not dealing with extraterrestrials. We are dealing with interdimensionals. And I don't think that we're dealing with extraterrestrials. I like what Phil said about the interdimensionals thing. That is something that I've been on record a lot about saying, that I think that it makes more sense. Now, if we are dealing with extraterrestrials, and this could go with interdimensionals as well, I think that we're dealing with probes. We're dealing with drones or some sort of unmanned vehicle or RC vehicle that's being used from very, very far distances away. Think about what we do with the rover on Mars, or quote unquote, right? Because I know Jeff has something to say against that. But I think that makes more sense. When it comes down to actually physically traveling far distances through space, there isn't a body in the universe. And I could be absolutely wrong, because, again, this is the only physics I know is the physics on Earth. There isn't a body in the universe that I believe can go at light speed and be able to survive. And going in order to make the travel useful from far distances, say over anything more than a half a light year, right? Even that's very, very long, because anything over that, you're dealing with multiple generations of travel, and it would be useless to travel for that long, and resources would be just thrown away. You would have to be able to do it with an unmanned vehicle, send an unmanned vehicle through a created wormhole to get here. And that's it. I mean, maybe their technology is something that can span the distance of space, where their antennas, or maybe they found a way to harvest planets and suns, rather for power, but for amplification of radio waves and stuff, or, you know, to control whatever they have. I'm challenging everybody to think outside the box when it comes to this stuff. I think that the idea of UFOs and aliens have been shoved down our throats way too much in this world to actually be true. And I think that if we are dealing with beings, they're interdimensionals. And if we're dealing with something from space, we're not dealing with an actual physical body. And that's it. If anybody wants to hear any more of my personal thoughts on this, we do an episode call that I did it with Mystery Mike from the Hush Hush Society in our season one. And it's labeled Interdimensionals or Extraterrestrials. And I go much deeper into it. That's it.
Fantastic. Thanks for that. And Jeff, where are your final thoughts at?
Man, to be honest, my opinions on this whole matter change daily. You know, one day I'm on one side and the other day I'm on the next, and I don't know anything. I don't have any authority on this. I'm just a guy. But at this current moment, man, I'm really just kind of thinking that we're looking at another false flag event coming in the future. I think that it's just, you know, I'm going to use the word propaganda. I think it's just all propaganda, man. I think we've all known that this stuff is out there. We all know that the technology for what we're seeing is out there. It's been reported on forever. You know what I mean? And we all know that the military industrial complex is far ahead of us in terms of technology, as, you know, the general public anyways. And I do believe what Jeremy's saying. I do believe there are interdimensional entities, and I do believe that we interact with them and have been probably forever. You know, I do think a lot of the sightings and stuff that we hear about are probably just that, you know, like the Zeta Reticuli or the Nordic beings or whatever. I do think that these are beings communicating with us interdimensionally or psychically or however. I don't think that the physical objects that we're seeing are coming from anywhere other than here. Now, I do have theories on like hollow earth, inner earth civilizations that could be advanced, you know, so maybe they are extraterrestrial. They're just not from outer space. They're just from extra lands inside the earth or whatever. But yeah, man, I'm kind of on the fence about the whole thing. I personally believe whatever the government's going to give us as far as information, I'm not going to trust it at all. Like, I don't trust any other government information. That doesn't mean I won't be watching it and looking into it very intensely, I guess. You know, I'm interested. So,
right on. Excellent. And just to finish up here, Jeff, tell us, what's your show and where can the listeners find it?
Yeah, man. Shadow Band Podcast. You can find it anywhere. Everywhere else is, you know, wherever you find a podcast. But just go to my website, because I'm trying to get out of the whole centralization, trying to decentralize my content, not have it all on YouTube, not have it all on wherever. I'm putting it all on my website so that I have control over it. You know, obviously, we're working on the Void Network, so there's other things coming down the pipeline as far as content safety. But yeah, shadowbandpodcast.com. And from there, you can find everything. So.
Awesome. And Phil, show name and where can we find you, brother?
Okay. Sorry, I missed part of your question. Yes, you can find Unexplained Incorporated wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Deezer, Google Play, and many, many others. I'm also on the Buzzsprout website. That's my host server. And you can find all the episodes as well as blogs and additional material related to the show on thephantomhub.com. That's all one word. And also, if you follow me on Instagram, PhantomPhilUnexplained, underscores between all the words, I post additional content on there as well, including Final Thoughts with Phantom Phil, which drops about twice a month. And you can find me on Twitter at PhantomPhil3 and Unexplained Incorporated on Facebook as well.
Jeremy, you know you got to tell them where we're coming from.
So, like I said, I'm Jeremy from the Infinite Rabbit Hole Podcast. Me and our MC for the night, CJ, we host a show basically covering stuff like this. If you want to see us and our other two co-hosts, Jake and Andrew, head on over to anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Anywhere, including YouTube, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Amazon, everywhere. Just look up Infinite Rabbit Hole. We're there. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at facebook.com/infinite rabbit hole. Instagram and Twitter, our handles are InfiniteRHPod. That's pretty much it. That's all I got.
All right, gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for joining me today for this roundtable discussion. It's a production of the Void Podcast Network. Listeners, be on the lookout because expect amazing content like this from us in the future and be able to access the Void Podcast Network website very soon. Follow all of our content and watch out for all of that information as it drops and it gives you access to everything that we're doing. Gentlemen, once again, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an honor.